Blog Talk Radio.
Waiting to hear from you. I am so overwhelmed this year. I'm a little bit older than I look, I think. And I've lived through a lot. I've lived through more than I look like I've been through. And I am so very concerned about the separating of the people of the United States of America. In my opinion, we are more polarized now than we were when we were at the height of Jim Crow, in my opinion. We have allowed divisions, and television has told us their vision, and movies and theater and cinema to become the ghost communist of our country. And now they lead us in our morals, as well as our belief system, as well as our navigation. Hey, Sticks, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey.
I can't get my camera to work.
That
I can see you just fine.
You can see me?
I'm on my laptop today because we're on vacation, so I didn't bring my extra camera. It's been so long since I messed with it, I can't figure out how to get it back.
That's all right. You got to, you know, you were here. I see Justice coming in, too. And as I was saying, I want to talk about Black History Month and what did you learn, and did you learn anything? Was it beneficial? I want to talk to Jeff. Jeff, I invited your friend Jeff to come in and sit in with us. Did you see that?
I saw that I was up till 1 o'clock in the morning.
I'm not
going back and forth with Jeff.
I'm not sure if I'm going to mess with you and Jeff, because I said no, but I invited him to this discussion because I am concerned about a lot when it comes to the hijacking of the NAACP, the hijacking of most of our African-American, our Black civil rights organizations, the hijacking of history. Sticks, you happen to be, where did he go? Sticks left me. I want to talk about this because I believe that they're polarizing more than we're polarized. Jeff, and I want to talk about your daughter's wedding, because that generation of people, they're not, I don't know where we're getting this, but we're better off than we used to be. But I saw the LGBTQ hijack the NAACP and the CHURCH say nothing about it. No one is doing anything about anything, and I'm not sure if we're – are we getting this? Am I wrong?
With?
About any of this. I mean, look, Jeff, we have come so far, and we've got so far to go. But the racism and the polarization that they are trying to promote, as if you listen to President Biden last night, and the lack of not being able to vote and the heart, we don't have that problem. If you want to vote, you can vote. If you want to participate, you can participate. I mean, the problem is you don't have the education, the information you need to participate.
Well, they keep saying that, you know, that black people are being kept from voting, voter suppression, which is a lie from the pit of hell. And it's stupid on top of that, because black people are voting in record numbers, especially in the South. And so therefore, that argument is put out there on Front Street on purpose. What is it doing? It's dividing the people, and it's dividing the people on purpose. And since people don't believe that, they don't really, you know, they don't really know why they're being divided. They just buy into it, and they run with it. And so,
hey, Larry, how you doing down there in Texas?
Wonderful. I'm actually working from home this week. My wife started not feeling really good on Sunday, and it got worse Monday, and she tested positive, but it looks like it's the original strain.
What?
Yeah, she's got COVID.
Oh, Lord. But she's got the original strain?
She's got all the original symptoms. Can't smell, can't taste, you know, body aches, real bad cough. But they prescribed her that therapeutic, Paxil. It's like, it's Pfizer, and it's a pill. So I'm anxious to see how that will.
I took
ivermectin. I'm telling you.
You said,
yeah, my wife and I both used that the last time we had COVID.
But did you use you use the same thing as Larry's wife?
Yeah, Paxlovid. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Larry, so, what did you learn? Let me ask you this, Larry. You're down in Texas. You know, being black in America has its challenges. But, you know, all of us are, Jeff, I think you're the eldest in the room. And you've seen how far we've come. We know that racism can be real and is real. Systemic racism is still a part of the equation. But Black History Month this past year has been, I didn't know hip-hop was the greatest thing that ever happened to Black history.
Well, that's what happens when you get other people to choose for you. Who your leaders are, who you look up to and respect. Like, we'll look up to, and I like Kanye, don't get me wrong, I'm not throwing it, but, you know, Dr. Ben Carson is probably one of the smartest guys on the, you know, and he gets vilified. I don't remember anybody saying anything about him on Black History Month. You know what I mean? Back to what Jeff was saying, though, when they talk about that. So here in Texas, we did tighten up some things on the voter side. And again, we caught the same thing that they did in Georgia, where it was Jim Crow 2.0. Supposedly being oppressed continues to rise. So it's either the awful law, and if that's the intent, is to suppress the vote, it's terrible. You know what I mean? But the opposite of what they keep telling you is going to happen by these laws happens, and nobody questions them or challenges them on that. And that's not Jeff and me saying that. That's the data, right?
Right.
That's the hard data that shows that that's not the case. And I think, Tracy, because of our community, and I say our, because I'm a part of it, is we tend to vote and act on our emotions a lot quicker and more passionately than we do when we look at the results, right? A logical person would say, okay, you said if this happened, then this would happen, but the opposite happened. So was it a bad law, or were you just trying to take advantage of me and my emotions? Because that's what happened. Right, you say Jim. This goes back, Tracy. We've talked about this. I'm writing a book, and it was because my daughter challenged me because she was talking about, I don't like the word systemic racism. When you say systemic, that means that there is something on the books or some kind of law that's on the books that prevents me from anything, right? And I just don't see that.
But let me ask you this.
Is there still some racism? Absolutely. I call it more prejudice than anything else. Is there some systemic, something in the system preventing me from, or Kanye or Dr. Carson, or was it hard for Dr. Carson? Absolutely. But what I have learned in my nearly 55 years is the higher your goals and what you want to accomplish, the higher the hurdles that are going to be put in place in front of you. Now, I'm going to tell you, it was definitely harder for Dr. Carson than a doctor coming out of it today, right? Because of his age and when he came.
But let me ask you this, and Sticks, you've got some background noise, so I keep on taking you out because there's some noise coming in the background. But Sticks, as the white man in the room.
I'll be right back.
See, that's what happens when white folks jump in. They be right back. See, they don't want to answer the question. See, if you bring him into the conversation, and what do you do? I got to go. What does that mean? Hey, Pionki, is that you? 646, is that you?
I'm back, Tracy.
Okay, so Stick.
We're babysitting. You heard my wife and my granddaughter in the other room.
Oh, so my question to you is, you are the white man in the room, and we talk about race and racism, and we've done this for years. You've been with me for years. And when we talk about systemic racism, is it racism? Is it culture? Is it ignorance? Because, remember, you are around people who talk differently when I'm not there.
I don't think it's systemic. I agree with Larry. I think it's a culture that has been sanctioned and put into the black community in the United States alone. Because if you take people who immigrate here, first generation people of color, by the second generation, they are no longer in poverty. And when my daughter graduated from West Virginia University, they graduate the mining engineers and the petroleum engineers at the same time. And there were very few people of color with Anglo-sounding last names who walked across that podium for petroleum engineering.
But let me ask you, see, when we talk about minorities, you can't talk about black people because black people are indigenous to America. So I have nowhere else to go except for here. And all my people, and when we get back, there has been a polarization within the community and within the black community. When I say this, when I say talk about systemic, to where when we had people who knew what to do with resources and were given and needed resources, we didn't give it to them. So we have industries that no longer exist that we can't restart again because when we needed the information, the help, we couldn't get it. And so now we don't have the companies that are African-American owned at the leverage and the competition level that they should be so that they can compete.
But we do, Tracy. I mean, if you look at take any of the Kenyans that come over here, what he's talking about, they come over here and they thrive.
Again.
And now most of the Kenyans I've met that from Kenya that immigrated here, yeah, they blacker than anybody on this call.
But they're not African American.
But so we had that. We had the. It's almost as if the Kenyans come over here and took Marcus Garvey and Thomas Sowell and actually Elijah Muhammad and what Louis Farrakhan had said, and they did it. They did exactly that, right? They go to their own bank. They don't have to wait for the supposed white man's bank to lend them money. They own their own bank.
So, right? But again, remember, they're not African-American, born, bred, a black American, indigenous to America. Their foundation is different. They weren't raised with television. They weren't raised in the culture.
But Tracy, I'll go way back. Okay, so in slavery in America, if you taught a slave how to read, that slave would be killed and you risk going to prison. Why was that?
Again, that goes. But that's what I'm talking about. In Kenya, you didn't have that problem. So what I'm saying is,
culture.
And that's, again, what's what I'm saying, Larry. Look at the educational system in the inner cities of America, where these kids are coming from and what they're teaching them. They're not teaching them how to get out of poverty, how to get out of what they're in. They're teaching them how to continue to churn butter. Jeff, go ahead.
Well, that was going there, and I think there is systemic racism, and that's where I think it is. And I think that it is being impressed upon black community by the political structure called the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party has commandeered black power since the 60s when they, after the riots of the 60s, which was the wrong way to get things done, they figured, you know, that they better, you know, put a hold on them. So in other words, you can't beat them, join them. And that's what they did. They joined in the commiserating of black America. And they said, well, you can't commiserate good enough. I'm going to commiserate for you, and I'm going to get you all of these good things. Yet, they will not allow school choice so that a better school can come in and educate more of the children that are getting educated in our bad-performing inner-city schools. Well, they run the union. They run the state boards of
education.
And so, therefore, it is a situation that you can't get out of unless you have a catharsis, which you almost had with I hate to say it, if somebody's going to have a fit, with Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump understood it. And when we met with him a time or two, he said that. He said, your schools, you need to have school choice. And this is why, blah, blah, blah. He put money into the black colleges that Barack Obama was going to let die until he was forced into helping them. But you can't say that because that's blasphemy. But it's the truth.
Can I ask you, can we do a sidebar right there? Stop for a minute. Can we talk about, I just want to bring one thing up. Why is this the first time I'm hearing about the COVID virus coming out of China? Okay. I'm sorry. I had to.
No.
I had to say it out loud because I thought I heard this, and it was called a China virus, and it was racist to say that it was from China. I believe I said that, but let's go back over to the racism.
Go to our Facebook page. I just posted the three things we've learned in the last 6 months. Anyway, no, I mean, your leadership has sold you out. I got an article here on The Blaze that Coca-Cola paid off the NAACP in order to get food so that they would say that the people that said that soft drinks were bad for you and they caused diabetes and all that stuff were racist, because that was a racist thing. And over and over and over again, your leadership has sold you out to the highest bidder.
But let me say this to you. The leadership hasn't sold you out. The question is, the problem is they don't give you access to capital. So what happens is you have your organization. And if your organization, if you want to self-fund it, you can do that. But how many of you have money to fund your own self? So you have to go over to your captor, ask them. You almost got to go to Pharaoh and ask them to help you, fund you, so that you can do what you need to do. And instead of us doing what we need to do with it, when we get it, we eat all the seed, all the food, all the bread. And what they've done is they've hijacked and they've taken over our infrastructure within the African American community, whether it be the Greek organizations, the civil rights organizations, and the black church. And right now they are promoting something that has nothing to do with everyday living, and that is dividing this nation at its core. And the champion of this is Joe Biden, your president.
Once again, if you don't understand why they are dividing you, you're never going to get a chance at a clear way out.
Tracy, back to your point, though, about the China virus. Okay. Hillary Clinton gave us this playbook, what they're using today and what they've always used in this stuff back when the Benghazi hearings. Do you remember her? What good does it mean today, right?
What difference does it make
today?
That's what they do. First of all, when you do it, they say it didn't happen. They just deny it completely outright. Then the next thing they say is you're crazy and a conspiracy theorist. And then the third thing that they say is, well, it didn't happen that way that Tracy said it happened. And then the fourth thing they say is what Hillary said in front of God and everybody on TV was, what difference does it make today, right? It happened 3 years ago.
So that's
the playbook.
So look at what's going on here when you talk about racism and Black America. Because remember, instead of them telling you how great you are, and every time that you get into something, you always change the game and giving you access to the tools to do so, they marginalize you and they victimize you and they make it polarizing to where you're looking at CRT. And it's not like people don't want to know what Black history is. What they don't want to do is they don't want to go home and feel as though they did it because they didn't do it to you. And we don't want to be victims. I don't know where we get this victim mentality from.
Because that's a human nature, is to be able to point to something or someone and say, that's the reason for my bad lot in life. Versus the hard part is saying, it was my poor decisions, I should have done this. The easy part is saying, Tracy's holding me down. Jeff's holding me down.
W. Bush said it best, and it goes back to Jeff's school choice and everything else. But the problem with this country is the elites that are pulling the strings, it's the soft racism of low expectations. I mean, there are school districts in this country right now that are doing away with honors programs, not because they're too hard, but because they've got too many Asians in them and not enough of the other races in them.
Or
instead of pushing people, they're lowering the bar for everybody.
That's correct.
Or they feel like it's going to make other students feel bad because they can't attain that.
Yeah, and you know, kids are really competitive. I mean, our daughter was valedictorian of her high school class, and there were eight of them. And she says, you know, I just want to know who was number one. You don't need to tell anybody else. I just want to know who was number one. And if it's not me, fine, but you're going to name eight people valedictorian. I want to know who the number one was.
But remember, somewhere along the line, and caller, your mic is on if you want to come in. You there?
Okay.
What's happening is competition has been from the beginning. And there is a difference between competition and fighting.
Yeah, especially.
And most of us learn how to fight, but we don't learn how to compete. And so somewhere in the last century, when everybody got a trophy, we lost our sense of competition and began the system of inclusion. And this inclusion thing, everybody can't be on top.
Well, Jim Crow lies at the heart of no competition. Because the racist business owners and the racist politicians didn't want people that would open their shops up to everyone to compete, and they didn't want Black people to compete
because that's why
the South never advanced technologically until after the Civil Rights War. Who's going to run a railroad? Who's going to run a train down there when you got to pack an extra car on it to separate Black people and white people? It doesn't make any financial sense. The bus companies all across the South finally knuckled under because they kept arresting their porters. Because they wouldn't run a separate bus for Black people and white people. And, I mean, that's what the whole Jim Crow thing was based on. It was based on a fear of competition.
And it still is. And this is the problem. If you don't know how your value, if you don't know how great you are, you will always think that you are a victim instead of a victor. And the reason why, and let me finish, the reason why we are not competing and we have been marginalized is because if you ever find out who you are, then you'll be a force to be reckoned with.
Well, and the thing is, they don't broadcast the really good things that are happening today. No, I guarantee you the majority of black people do not know that Brad Daugherty is the first owner in NASCAR, the first black owner in NASCAR to win Daytona 500.
I guarantee.
Who?
Yeah, I know who Brad Daugherty is.
Who? Cleveland Cavaliers.
Cleveland Cavaliers, North Carolina Tar Heels.
Who?
Brad Daugherty.
Brad? He played basketball?
Yeah, and he owns a race team. And I bet you a lot of people don't know Michael Jordan owns a race team.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Michael Jordan owns a race team, too?
And Pitbull.
So Brad Daugherty, he owns – so he's a basketball player who went over to NASCAR and got him a car?
Yeah.
Well, that ain't something to do.
Daugherty race. And he was an analyst for ESPN, a NASCAR analyst for ESPN for years.
That's not in the news.
It doesn't fit the narrative.
What does that mean? I mean, don't you want me to be thrive? Don't you want me to be free?
No.
Don't you want me to know something?
No. Stacey, no. Have you ever heard the name Antron Brown?
Who?
Antron Brown.
No.
He's won, I think he's won half a dozen NHRA Top Fuel championships.
Who?
He's a black guy.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, no, don't know about him either. They wasn't on the news.
Once again, if you don't understand that the reason why it's not on the news is because you as a people must be marginalized. Why do you think that they make sure that it's more conducive for African American people to live inside the city in nominal type housing than the counterpart? Excuse me, that lives out in the suburbs.
So let me ask you this. Do they not want white people to know that black people are good people?
They could care less.
Do they care less? I mean, no, because I really see more and more white people becoming more and more fearful because of the narrative that's being taught. I mean, it's reversing. And fear is, and I'm saying this in the church as well as out the church because I've never seen such polarization in all my life. I mean, it's not even about race now. It's just about stupidity.
Well, I think Jeff's hit the nail on the head. All this stuff, the Brad Daugherty's, the Michael Jordan, the Antron Browns, it doesn't fit the narrative. If you're a black athlete and you have to be in a stick and ball sport, or it doesn't fit the narrative. Why would you want a Bubba Wallace? There's another one doesn't fit the narrative. You know, it doesn't fit the narrative because in order to excel in those other sports, you have to have a broad knowledge of other things. You can't just jump in a race car and go fast. You have to understand aerodynamics. You have to understand mechanics.
That's right.
You have to understand physics. And it doesn't fit the narrative of the black athlete or the black entertainer.
So when I look at the billionaires that they're listing, most of them, except for Robert Smith, are in the entertainment industry. And I'm watching
Robert Smith.
Robert Smith is a fund manager who is a gentleman who actually paid for all the tuition down at the black college a couple years ago.
Okay,
that's who Robert Smith is.
We need to bring Tom. We need to bring Charles Payne on this program.
We can do that.
Let him talk.
We can do that
because he's a Fox Business News analyst, and he talks about growing up in Harlem and how because he wanted to be a businessman, and his mom bought him a briefcase for Christmas one year, and how he was bullied and antagonized and how he smashed his stuff because he wasn't black enough.
Again, but let me finish my statement. They've given they give money to entertainers, but business people we tend to hide. Educators we tend to hide. Politicians we tend to not fund. And the people who need to know the most about the Board of Education, the State Board of Education, City Council, Township Trustees, and County Commissioners, they know the least about that. And they know the foolishness that is known in the national narrative that is going to get them killed.
Tracy, there's a reason for that. first of all, the NBA, the NFL, even NASCAR. I mean, these are the elite of the elite. You know, the top 1-2% of the entire population get the chance to listen. Every kid, you could have down here in Texas. There's 30 million people in Texas. You go to the high school here, and you couldn't find you another LeBron James in this thing. But they sell that dream to us that all of you can, and that's just not possible. But there could be a whole bunch of Ben Carsons down there.
Hold on, and there goes you're going back to Jeff. There is the systemic racism right there, because right now we have now monetized and now made it to where you can gamble on the athletics, but our kids are aspiring to something that is not cerebral, that is not going to bring them out of poverty, and then we're allowing these people to become role models and political analysts and talk about things that they know nothing about.
See, my father, and you've heard me tell the story before, he moved out into his house on Lockwood Boulevard, and the neighbors, all of them, had signed a pact to keep him out of that neighborhood, keep black people out of that neighborhood. But the gentleman was dying and had to get to a different climate so that he could extend his life, and he sold to my father, who was an attorney. Now, not one of the signers of that agreement was a Republican. Not one. So what I'm trying to tell you is that there may be even some Democrats that really just love, you know, their black friends, but they are going to be true to the construct that they want to keep African American people controlled.
So, yeah.
It's a controlled vote. It's a controlled labor. It's a controlled voice for them whenever they need it.
So I'm looking at all the conversations, and people are now, they got podcasts off. They got a podcast for your podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And folks are social media, and they got information out. But all the information that I see coming out still does not get to the heart of freeing people at the core of who they are. I'm looking at the people who are the white people who live in the neighborhood. Because we've always had white neighbors in the neighborhood. And those white neighbors, they don't care about them either. Ask East Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
You know, poor white folks and poor black folks, just because you're lighter don't make you brighter.
Just poor. That's all you got.
And they're going to take advantage of you because they can. And they do.
Well, watch what happens there. Because they got out of their way of voting down there, and they turned red the last few years, and watch what happens, because that's going to be answered. And it's going to be answered.
That's another problem. You know, you guys quit voting the right way, so now we're not going to pay no attention to you.
Exactly.
But they never did. I mean, did anybody watch Biden yesterday talk to the all of the black college presidents? And they talked to them. And don't get me wrong, they were in this room. Jeff, have you been? You've been to the other room at the White House, haven't you?
Yes.
Okay. I want everybody to understand. They ask you in there like chattel. You stand around and clap. And it's all, yeah. So you got a bunch of cerebral people in there listening to this man sit up here and talk about something that he didn't do, about something that he doesn't believe in, and he doesn't care about, and then demonize who you are because he won't even talk on your level about what you need in your black colleges, because you're still not competing at the level that you should. Am I missing this?
Yeah, gonna put you a D on and cancel you.
You know, look what they did. Look what they did in Georgia to Clarence Thomas. You know, they wanted to put a statue on the State House grounds of Clarence Thomas, and somebody got up and called him an Uncle Tom.
They did
the same thing to Dr. Ben Carson at the high school he went to. He had
they took it down.
Yeah, they took it down.
They took it down. And
they don't want you to look at the Dr. Carson story. I mean, that's a rag-to-riches story right there.
But yet, how many Woodrow Wilson high schools are there in black neighborhoods?
Bingo! Does anybody understand that? And women, and they keep on funding them, and they keep on building them, and they think it's a good idea.
And they don't know how racist Woodrow Wilson was.
The reason why we got the problems that we have today is because of Woodrow Wilson and LBJ.
Yep. Oh, LBJ, what do you mean?
Oh, I'm not allowed to say that out loud. Who?
You mean St. LBJ?
That's the one I'm talking about, LBJ. Woodrow Wilson, LBJ, Ku Klux Klan. Do you understand they don't like you?
They're not willing to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. I guarantee you that the majority of our black listeners do not know that there were black slave owners in the South.
Not only that, they don't believe that. I have been treated bad by white people, but I've been treated worse by black people.
Whoa.
That's real. Now, don't get me wrong.
The wealthiest female in Charleston, South Carolina, pre-Civil War, was a black woman who owned a rice plantation and 150 slaves.
Who? They don't talk.
Thing is, you know where I found that out? Who was the historian that Obama had the beer summit with?
Gates.
Yeah.
It was him and Gates.
And that's how I found out about that. It was an article that he had written in The Root.
But, you know, if we start telling the truth, what'd you say, Jeff?
First I heard of it right now.
That's what I'm saying. Where did you get that story from? You digging up black history stories now, Dick?
You know me. I read everything. Anything and everything.
So my question is, when do we start hearing the real story? Because I watched 28 days of hijacking of black history. See, unless you're going to talk to me about the hair care industry, the industrial industry, of how, you know, Jim Crow and how we came out, because, you know, the unsung heroes that didn't have a name in your own neighborhood. I mean, you look at Jeff Green and the people who started the Ohio Black Republican Association, and his father, and Camilla's grandfather. You talk about them. You talk about people who took the hit in the school boards. You talk about people who made the coups up in Cleveland with Stokes when they changed districts. That's black history. Black history is not shaking your behind on TV.
So I got to put a plug in here. Angel Studios, the people that put out The Chosen and other religious programming, on their app, there's a series for children called The Tuttle Twins. And it teaches basic economic principles and such. And last night we were watching with the grandkids, and I can't remember the lady's name, but she was the first black lady that made hair care products designed specifically for black women.
Her name is
Madam
C.J. Walker.
She started in her kitchen, and she built it to $1 million business.
She was the first female millionaire ever recorded
in America. Right, black female.
She was the first female, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't she? Was that inherited?
I don't know, because I think there was more, there are people that inherited money and things like that.
Yeah, I think it said black female millionaire. I think it's what the program said.
Yep, Madam C.J. Walker.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. When you look at the industry, because not only did she build that hair, she built an industry, the industry that I came out of. We have to understand that we no longer own, because when we needed the financing to scale, they wouldn't give it to us. And not because we didn't have the credit, it's because we couldn't get inside the door. That's where it comes systemic. Systemic is when you get to access when you can't open up the door, even if you got the keys to get in. And still there are people who have keys to get in, but you still don't have access because you don't have relationships or knowledge. And we've got to learn the difference. Because right now, people are keeping us out of growth because they don't want others to come in and grow with you.
Tracy, so I hear what you're saying on the systemic, right? But you can. And you don't have to travel far from where you're at to go see it. You can touch it today.
What?
There's a...
you said it. I did. Then you think there's something incriminating in Lex's book.
The three men in the past have tried to get me off the case, right?
What about that contractor, William Virgil?
Well, if he is involved, I don't know. But I'm going to go see him right now and dangle a carrot right in front of this thing.
Lexi didn't stay on in that tenant's bum house after he took off.
Where did you say you met him?
Party. Party someplace. I can't remember.
We were good friends, Jim. At least.
Now beat it. I can't take it to you. Hey, Al. Don't be afraid you're going to strike oil. Dig at least another foot further. It's a foundation, not a wading pool.
Lexi Gardner went from you to being the top caller on the strip. That's a big step. I'm going to be digging much deeper in that hole to find out why she made it. So if you've got anything buried, I suggest you ask Lou Spritz and Eddie Banning how good I am at scratching up old bones. For your information, Eddie Banning is flying in from Tahoe tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock.
Hello?